Welcome to the latest edition of Nayreet's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito, and today we're discussing the outlook for the 116th Congress with Nayreet's government relations experts, Robert Dibley and John Jones. So before we start, maybe you could both give a quick summary of your backgrounds and your focus here at Nayreet, starting with Robert.
Thanks, Sarah. I joined Nayreet just over a decade ago. I worked on Capitol Hill for approximately 18 years, working for two Republican senators from Utah. My last stint on Capitol Hill was with Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah. I was his chief of staff for approximately 5 years, and he just recently retired from the Senate as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. It was a good run, a good time to be up on Capitol Hill for those almost 2 decades.
Thank you, Sarah. I joined Nayreet in October of 2018. Prior to that, I worked on Capitol Hill for 15 years, most recently for the last five as a chief of staff for a United States Congressman from Kansas City, Missouri. And prior to that, I worked for 5 years as a national security director in the United States Senate.
Great. So the House of Representatives is now under Democratic control, leading to a divided Congress for the first time in nearly a decade. Do you think Congress will be able to put aside partisanship tendencies and work together on any major issues?
I'll go first. I think the bottom line, obviously, with a divided Congress is that there will mostly be gridlock when it comes to policy, where policy is concerned, which we're seeing reflected in the recent government shutdown that is currently going on. We should preface, I think, everything we say today by saying that this shutdown, whatever the outcome of the standoff will be, the impact on the legislative landscape is probably going to be significant in ways that we may not be able to anticipate today. We're seeing both sides in this shutdown dig their feet in. They both want to win. They want to make sure they get a win. And we'll just have to wait and see what the consequences from the shutdown are long term once it's completed. But going forward, appropriations bills, basically funding the government, and doing critical things like raising the debt ceiling could be the only two real exceptions to the legislative gridlock for the next 2 years. These will be major proposals. There'll be major proposals introduced on health care and other social issues like drug prices and gun control. And these issues, unfortunately, tend to polarize politicians. So they will likely not pass both houses of Congress, even though there'll be congressional hearings, there'll be debates, et cetera, in both the House and the Senate. So it's going to be very challenging. It's going to be a very challenging legislative environment, as we're, like I say, witnessing at the beginning of this session with this government shutdown and everything that's involved and everyone that's involved in trying to come to a resolution with that situation.
Thank you, Sarah. That's a very important question. One major issue that has the possibility of securing bipartisan support is the issue of improving this country's infrastructure. That's everything from highways, airports, pipelines that both parties have spoken to and agree needs attention. There may be a big difference of opinion on what classifies as infrastructure. There are a lot of different ideas in terms of what should be the definition of infrastructure going forward and how much money should actually be spent in this area. But there's a recognition by both parties that they want to get something done. They want to accomplish something, and that raises the likelihood that a deal could be struck. Nayreet would have a very integral role to play in this policy discussion with respect to the definition of infrastructure and publicly traded real estate. But the bottom line is this: most issues will end up becoming polarized, and it will be very, very difficult to accomplish anything of great importance during a presidential election cycle, especially beginning late 2019 and all through 2020. So right now it's going to be a very, very significant integral time in Congress.
Now, John, you mentioned infrastructure. What other issues will NAREIT be discussing on Capitol Hill during the 116th Congress? And what impact, if any, will the divided government have on the political agenda?
Sure. For years, Congress has dabbled on issues relating to housing, finance reform, and policymakers, on and on again, have been struggling for years to determine a legislative solution to reduce the federal government's newly expanding role in the housing market. And REITs have been one of the few bright spots in this area, supplying private capital into housing finance. The new leadership in the House of Representatives will lead to a serious consideration on a broad range of housing issues, probably, including government-sponsored entities and workforce housing. From a process perspective going forward, essentially any deals on legislation that can be struck between President Trump and Speaker Pelosi will pass Congress. And an agreement between the two would cover all bases because it would speak to the fact that if Speaker Pelosi supports the deal, the House will support it. And if President Trump supports the deal, Leader McConnell will support it.
I would also add, thanks, sir. I would also add that reauthorizing TRIA, the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, will be a top priority for NAREIT during this congressional cycle. It's important, as many of our members know, because TRIA ensures that U.S. businesses can obtain the terrorism risk insurance coverage necessary to protect against the devastating consequences of a catastrophic terrorist attack. This TRIA was implemented after the 9/11 attacks, and it's still relevant and a priority for commercial real estate today. The current authority for TRIA expires at the end of 2020, so it's important that we get started right away in educating Congress on TRIA and the need to reauthorize it. In addition, after the first major tax reform in three decades, was passed in 2017, all with Republican support, there will likely be efforts undertaken to repeal, to roll back, or to modify many of the provisions that were passed in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is the tax bill passed by Congress in 2017. NAREIT will, as we always are, will remain vigilant to address any provisions that may have any potential impact on the REIT-specific provisions in the law, or really any other provisions that are related to the industry that might come under the microscope.
Great. And there are now new members on both the leadership teams and committee chairmen in both houses and in both parties. What are the backgrounds of some of the key members who can impact the issues that the REIT industry could face? John?
Sure. Nancy Pelosi has begun her second tour of the Speaker of the House, and rest assured, notwithstanding her very deep political principles, she knows how to strike a deal. And once the deal is made, there is probably no better vote counter in Congress. Additionally, she has a very strong understanding of real estate and REIT industries, and her speakership will be geared to getting things done. The new chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Congressman Richard Neal of Massachusetts, is a longtime chairman of the Congressional Real Estate Caucus, knows the industry, and has always been seen as a real partner, eager to work towards solutions with leadership in the REIT industry.
On the Republican side, and we should have pointed out at the beginning, I sort of, obviously with my background, deal with the Republicans in Congress. John, with his background, deals with the Democrats in Congress. On the Republican side, the leadership teams in both the House and the Senate are basically the same as they were in the last session, with maybe one or two changes, but nothing significant. And those minor changes shouldn't impact the manner in which our issues, in which REIT issues are viewed by the top Republicans in each chamber. On tax issues, Senator Grassley from Iowa is the new chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. My former boss, Senator Hatch, retired this year, so Senator Grassley now is the new chairman. And Representative Kevin Brady from Texas, who was the former chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, will now be the committee's ranking member or leading Republican. When it comes to, and I should mention that Congressman Brady is well versed on REIT issues, similar to the new chairman, Mr. Neal. When it comes to TRIA, Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho will continue as chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, and Representative Patrick McHenry from North Carolina will now be the top Republican or ranking member on the House Financial Services Committee. With these committee assignment changes, we don't anticipate a real shift in policy on the Republican side during the upcoming Congress on where the party has been in the past, which we see as a very positive going forward with the key issues we have on the Republican side.
And are there any interesting dynamics about the incoming freshman class, especially the large number and diverse makeup of the new House majority?
Very interesting dynamics indeed, Sarah. 43 Democrats flipped Republican-held House seats in November in a blue wave, giving Democrats control of the chamber for the first time since 2010. What hasn't been reported a lot is that with such a large group of freshman Democrats coming in representing swing districts, these new members will be geared to working in a bipartisan fashion to try to rack up bipartisan legislative accomplishments to demonstrate to their constituents who happen to be independent, not party affiliated, Republican and Democrat, that they want to get things done. That's the silver lining in what can be seen as one of the most partisan times in recent memory.
And I would say on the freshman class of the 116th Congress, as John mentioned, consists of new faces. In fact, there is a total of 111 new faces, and 60% of them are Democrats. As John mentioned, primarily mostly in the House, and many of them will influence legislation and policy development during the session. On the Republican side, I would simply add that there are approximately 10 to 12 new House members with real estate backgrounds who should recognize the role that REITs play in the economy. When it comes in total, nearly one-fifth of the new Congress, of the 116th Congress, have been elected to Congress for the first time, which means there are a large number of individuals who will need to be educated about REITs in the publicly traded real estate industry. And we believe that NAREIT is up to that task to bring about that education.
And Republicans increased their numbers in the Senate this year. Will this impact the way the Senate does business?
Yeah, Sarah, Republicans did increase their number by two, going from 51 to a total now of 53. Despite that, there's still the fundamental basic policy premise that it requires 60 votes to pass any major piece of legislation in the Senate, meaning obviously that Republicans will need to cross the aisle and secure at least 7 Democrat votes to pass any substantive proposals. That's assuming that all Republicans stay united, which will be a difficult task for Republicans. The tax bill that passed in 2017, as I mentioned, utilized an arcane rule known as reconciliation that allowed that bill to pass the Senate with a simple majority or with 51 votes. That option is not available to this Congress right now and won't be until Congress passes a budget for the current fiscal year, which is unlikely. So this means any controversial proposal that cannot muster 60 votes will basically be dead on arrival in the Senate. As Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell recently said about a split legislative branch of government, he said that the Senate will basically become the, quote, personnel department, unquote, which means that the only material thing the chamber will likely be doing over the next 2 years is confirming judges and other executive branch nominees. The polarization will basically bring the Senate to a standstill when it comes to policy, leaving the Senate to do its constitutionally required job of filling executive positions and judges.
And finally, how much will the 2020 presidential election play in Congress's activities or deliberations this year and next? John?
Sure, it's a very important question. Many of the members, especially in the Senate, will be looking for positions that will differentiate themselves from other Democrats, especially those in the presidential contest. So you will be seeing a lot of bills being introduced where members are trying to basically lay out their election platform. For example, Senator Kamala Harris of California, a potential presidential candidate, has already been advocating for income tax proposals and housing proposals seeking to make housing more affordable for people by subsidizing the rent of individuals. The question then becomes how many of these proposals will be offered as trial balloons for political purposes, how many will be seen as actual legislative vehicles that can be implemented in Congress, but most of all, these trial balloons, proposals, will affect the conversation going forward. And as presidential candidates advocate for these proposals in order to, frankly, win primaries, this may make it more difficult to achieve any kind of bipartisan compromise going forward.
I would agree with what John said totally, that the time frame to really accomplish anything substantive this year will be significantly shortened due to the presence of next year's elections, both congressional and presidential. Once we reach Labor Day this year, only the must-do items, like funding the federal government, raising the federal debt limit, and maybe reauthorizing some other critical programs, will have Congress's full attention. By then, if any proposal is to pass Congress, it will need to be attached to one of these must-do proposals to be adopted by Congress and signed into law. NAREIT anticipates that legislation to reauthorize TRIA would likely be adopted by the 116th Congress in this matter. So that's sort of how we see this year working out. Again, I go back to my first point at the beginning of this, which is with this current government shutdown in place, this is what we see right now, but we can't anticipate what the ripple effects will be from the shutdown once that is completed going forward with other legislative policy discussions that occur.
Great. Robert and John, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for previous episodes of the REIT Report.